Now, Lord, what should I bring? How should I felt, because of so many new students that have come in, I said, how can I kind of back up in a way and kind of summarize without going back and going through each one of these items again? I've already summarized. I've gone through them. I don't want the others to have to go listen to me go through it all again. And there's too many points. I would never be able to get on. How can I wrap up some kind of a perspective that kind of puts it all into, and yet it's a summary, and yet it's new? And all of a sudden, a thought came, and I wrote it, and the next thought, and the next thought, and the next thought, and I wrote as fast as I could write a summary of perspectives of knowing God. It's just a brief, you know, just for the introduction. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord helped me to wrap up some of this in a way that will not be repetitive, and yet will give a perspective to show the being led of God and the heart of God of what we've been talking about. The heart of what we've been talking about. To know God. Now, some of these statements sound awfully simple, but they're rather profound. They're rather profound, if you allow me to say it, being brought by the Spirit of the Lord, so we'll give Him credit. They sound awfully simple, and they are simple. But you got to think of what they mean. You got to think what the impact is. You can say, just listen to a film given out and go on your way, but there's something that is saying here that has some depth to it. You know, some of the simplest statements are the most profound. Some of the complex things are not so profound. They're just complex. But some of the real simple things are profound and deep and mysterious. Like, I'll give you one example. Just yield to God, brother. Try to explain that in 20,000 words or less. Get it across to somebody. It's something that's quite deep and profound you have to learn to do. To know God is to know God's will. Or I should turn that around. To know God's will is to know God. In other words, what I'm saying here is, if you know God, then you know His will. I mean, basically. I don't mean in every detail. But if you know God, you know His will. You know His will for your life, and you're walking in it because you know Him. To know God's word is to know God. So to know God is to know His will, and to know His word is to know God. If we can just know God, we'll know God's will. But if we can know His word, we'll know God. The word and the person of God is inseparable. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You say what's in your heart. You can see a person on the outside, but you don't really know him until he expresses himself from the inside. In fact, he'll look different on the outside as you get to know him more and more on the inside. You know that? That is, you relate that outside differently. As he goes inside, the personality of what he is will show forth an individual, and he'll be a different kind of a person than what you first thought when you first saw him. And outside will be identified with something different than what it was identified with before. We must know His word. Because this is God, His word is God expressed. To walk in God's word and to walk in God's spirit is to walk in the will of God. If you walk in obedience to this word, meditate upon thy laws day and night, David said. We walk in this word, the light of this word, and we walk in the Spirit, we will be walking in the will of God. So many people are trying to find the will of God for their life. They'll go to seminars on it and pay money. They're looking for some gimmick, for some switch, for some positive principle, for some simple pill that they can take to know how to walk with God. They're looking for time to pray to get some special revelation. Every time they want to take another step, they go over and pray about it. Now what step should I take? Constantly trying to find the will of God. The way you find the will of God is to know God. You see, when you know your Father, and you're living in a family, and you know your Father, you really know Him, you know what His will is for your life. You don't have to constantly set yourself in a meeting with Him. Father may have a meeting with you that I might know your will. That's going up to the Son and praying him to know your will. May I have a meeting with you to know your will? You don't have to have constant meetings with your Father to know his will. Because you know him. Therefore, you know his will. A wife knows her husband. She doesn't have to ask so very many times what he wants her to do. She knows what he wants her to do every day. According to the principle, she knows him. And so it is with God. If you know somebody, you know what his will is. And if you walk in his word and his spirit, you are walking in the will of God. You're in the will of God. To be like God is to be in God's will. If you like him, then you're in God's will. To have the mind of God. If you've got the mind of God instead of the mind of the world, if we have the mind of Christ, the scripture says, if we have his mind, if we have the heart of God, so all we feel what he feels, we have his heart, then that is being like God, and it will produce a life that's godly, a godly life, a God-likeness, see, in the flesh, like Christ expressed a God-likeness in the flesh. He was like God. He had the mind of God and he had the heart of God. Therefore, he knew the will of God. Men of God who are truly apostles and prophets and men who walk with God and know God, they're not always asking God what to do every minute. It's the babies who are asking God what to do every minute. That's the truth. Because they already know what to do. They know God. They know the principles. They know they have his heart and they have his mind. They're not constantly inquiring of God what to do all the time. They know what to do. His heart beats right through them. They instinctively know by the Spirit what to do. Just like a real good, true, close wife knows what to do for her husband all the time. So we know what to do for God. I'm not constantly asking God what to do all the time. And I have to make more decisions than probably any one of you here. All the time I'm making decisions. Now, if I were like the average person who was young in the Lord, little child in the Lord, and I had to go out and pray 2 or 3 weeks for every decision, you see what would happen? We'd never get anything done around here. You got to get to a place where you know God. God will thrust you out here in the harvest field, and you don't have time to kneel down and pray about every stalk you're going to cut when you're bringing the wheat in. You're going to have to know what to do. You're going to have to know God's heart. John Wesley preached sometimes 6 and 7 times a day, as high as 10. 5 and 6 times a day, he was on the circuit. He'd ride to a place and preach, and ride somebody else and preach, ride somebody else and preach. He rode and preached, prayed in between. He didn't have time to sit down, develop great homilies. He didn't have time to sit down and get do hours and hours of prayer while God wants him to do the next step. He preached. He trusted God to move right through him. He had to do that. Now, there was time when he was taking time studying. That when he was younger. When he was younger and in his earlier life, he was preparing until he had the word in him. And Charles Finney did the same thing. Having the word in him, he could speak it forth. He could speak it forth. He could do things because he knew God's will. And he knew God's word. We need to be living epistles, read and known of all men. Have it in us so we can give it forth at any moment, any time. We have already instant in season, out of season. To know the word of God is to have the mind of God. If you know the word, you've got God's mind. To know God in the Spirit is to have the heart of God. To know the word is to have the mind of God. To walk in the Spirit is to have the heart of God. Now, the Word of God teaches us principles. And these principles are applicable for our spiritual life. And a walk in the Spirit allows the Holy Ghost to reveal His Word in us. As we walk in the Spirit, it allows, it didn't say forces, God to reveal His Word in us. It allows Him to. If we will read it, yield to it, be sensitive to it, and don't make the mistake of trying to get 14 men's views out in front of us in pages and take a collation of 10 out of 14 of men in past ages. They haven't got to all revelation yet. That isn't the way to get the will of God. So some young men starting in ministerial work, that's one of the biggest traps they get into. I believe, and I'll qualify myself by saying this, I am a firm belief that there's a definite need for a real balance in this area. And I'm a firm believer in taking advantage of all the revelations that God has ever given everybody else. Now, I don't mean all the babies. I don't read their revelations, but I mean men of God who have studied God's Word. I believe that it's not given all to one man, and I think a man who will close out every book of a man of God and say, I'm going to get it all by myself because I don't want man's ideas. And I say, well, who are you? After you get it, you got a man's idea. Just as much when they get it, they got a man's idea. You're a man, and they're a man. Well, God's going to give me a revelation. God's going to give them revelations, too. And so I believe in taking advantage of all the revelations that God has given them. I believe, first of all, because you've got to have the critical acumen to know what bears witness with your spirit, with the spirit of God, and what is a revelation, and what's their own mind plundering or blundering around in the dark. They have to make a discernment. And babes can't make that discernment, so they're not in the best position to do this. But as a teacher of God, I believe in doing this. But the other, and so I don't make the mistake of closing out everything and going to get it all by myself. That's a mistake. But on the other hand, I don't believe in the other trap that so many fall into of getting 14 books out in front of them, and they read everybody's ideas and come up with a majority, write the majority down, or what it seems good and so forth, and they're always collating men. But God leads us into further revelation. Most of our commentaries were written before Pentecostal days, when they didn't have a lot of revelations that we've got. So if we go back into their understanding and understand things yet and plow around and try to get the consensus of opinion is not the way to learn the Word of God. We must somehow allow the Holy Spirit to bring His Word through to us and enlighten us and study His Word, parallel passages and going from place to place and let Scripture interpret Scripture. Scripture is always the best interpreter of itself. And then to look in and see what God perhaps has shown others. There's no plagiarism in the things of God. It all works together into one truth, into one harmony. Unfortunately, many have made the mistake of in the gospel of man's ideas to try to keep others from using something that God gave them as a revelation to spread out across the world. Now, I don't mean that there isn't proper places or reasons for some copyrights. There is, but it has been all too much done selfishly. Now, the Word of God teaches us principles, and if we study God's Word for the applicable spiritual truths, it'll provide a basis for seeking to walk with God. See, if we walk in the Spirit, we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal His Word in us. If we'll be open to His Word and see what His Word has to say. Now, studying God's Word, if you are studying it not to prove you're right, not just for data, but for some applicable spiritual truth for your life to live by, this will provide a basis in your life for a seeking to know God, to walk in the Spirit. It'll provide motivation. It'll provide the platform, the basis, the foundation upon which you will build. It'll provide the road upon which you walk. You cannot really get on fire to move with God without first having something, some goal in mind. Before you make a pilgrimage, you've got to have a goal out there. Before you decide to sell all your property and make a long pilgrimage, you have to have a goal out there you think is worth it. You have to know something by the Word of God. And then it has to bear witness in your spirit. So it becomes a living truth in you. Then you are willing to begin to seek God for a move of God in your own life. Now, some people never have a real goal. They say, well, I just wish I had I wish I was motivated. I just wish that I somehow inside of me, I wish there was. But you see, you've got to lay hold of the Word of God. Lay hold of the Word of truth. And you say, well, I always fall asleep when I read the Bible. That's the way, because the way you read it. Well, I haven't read this book for a while, you know, and you pull it out, and blow it off a bit, open it up, thumb over any place. Well, of course, the letter will kill us. It's the Spirit that gives life. You have to approach it with a yielded spirit. Lord, this is the Word of truth. What can I find in here that will be applicable in my daily life? That I might begin to meditate upon thy laws day and night. That I might become more like, that I might feed upon this word until it becomes the very cells of my spiritual life. Until I begin to walk in, until I begin to know it, until I begin to become like you. That I might be you on this earth as a mouthpiece. That I might be your messenger. That I might know thy words and thy truth. That it might build me. It might keep me from sin. It might strengthen me. It might give me a food and a strength in the last days. That I might understand the things. I might be able to help others in the way. Show me thy truths. Lord, reveal it. Check it passage by passage. Look up all the parallel verses. And begin to look through the chain references and find out what God is saying. Applying it to your life, looking closely at exactly what he said, why he said it, how he meant it, how it fits in. All of a sudden, you're not going to sleep. You're finding something that's precious, something that you can't quit reading for your life. I remember the testimony of Bonnie Hartley. Right after she got filled with the Holy Ghost in her home, the first one got filled in this church, before we were a church, but in our influence anyway, Hill, just before the church was built. And she said, as a Lutheran, she never read the Bible really, excepting maybe a little portion at a Luther League, to give a little short reading at a Luther League meeting or something like this. And so it never really meant much to her. But after she got filled with the Holy Spirit, she found out that she was so full of the Spirit that approaching the Word with being full and yielded and thrilled in the Spirit, it became alive to her. That the hours of the night would go on, and the next chapter, one more chapter. Well, I'll tell you what happens in the next chapter. And you know, the chapters always end, you know, and the next verse always starts out, thus, and so, because of, you know, it always does this, and it lures you right in the next chapter. So she couldn't stop page after page, chapter after chapter, and the hour and night hours were going by, and that was foreign to her as a member of the Lutheran Church. And so, you see, God's Word, the Spirit takes hold of it. Begin to make it live within you. Now, we are led of God by revelation of God's Spirit. But let me hasten to qualify myself. We are led by revelation, very definitely by revelation. I believe in a constant revelation of God, but not like a lot of people think, not on puppet strings. We do not have puppet strings going up into heaven, and God isn't manipulating you. He doesn't have you all your life all coded out every step out here in code numbers, and you say, no, what code number next? 14 paces east and 6 paces over by the dead tree and down by the rock to find the treasure. He doesn't have it all coded out on the map for you like that. You tend to walk by the principles of God. You walk according to that inner light. That's the revelation, that inner light that's inside. Not by outward signs, but by inner light. God reveals in us. He puts a light in our soul. We know Him. We know the mind of God. We know the will of God. People can come up and say, should I do this or should I do that? I say, that's wrong, brother. That's not the right way to do it. That's good. That's fine. And they walk away. How do I know? Did I just go back? Well, wait a minute. Hold it. Now, Lord, if you make the light turn black when I pray, then I'll know you want yes. If you make it turn red, I'll know no. Now, Lord, send some signs from heaven. And I went back and say, I got a sign for you. I don't need signs. I don't walk by outward signs. It's by inward light. Quit praying God for all these outward fleeces and all these signs all the time. Lord, if he calls me the phone, I'll know you want it. If he comes from California, if I get a letter in 2 days, if this person says this, that isn't the way God wants you to walk, by outward signs. It's by inward light. That inner light in your soul where God moves in you and you know. You just know by the inner light. Knowledge of God. That's how the revelations come. I've even been there with revelations all day long. As you're moving in God, the revelations are there. The light is there. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he that walketh in me shall not walk in darkness. So if you walk in him, you're not walking him. You're not out in the dark. You know. You got light. You know where to go. You won't stumble along the way. You have to learn to get there. That's the way. Don't be like the stubborn Jews that required a sign. See, God rebuked them for it. The Jews require a sign. They always want a sign. Prayer puts our heart right. And the Word of God puts our minds right. Now, I said that to say this. Some people try to put their mind right by prayer. They go off and say, now, Lord, I need to know something. So to get my mind clear, so what I need to know, I will pray. But I just got through saying that prayer puts your heart right. It's the Word of God that puts your mind right. And the confusion is so huge that almost everybody who hasn't grown up very far in the Lord, all trying to get their minds right by prayer. But then they get their heart right, and when the heart's right, they feel wonderful, and then whatever they've been assuming or thinking or want to do, they therefore count that as a revelation because they feel so marvelous, so God must have told them. And the whole world is walking in confusion, the whole Christian world, because they got, as soon as they get their hearts right, then they feel wonderful. And whatever they think erroneously, been told erroneously, want to do, feel inside to do, think with their own mind, therefore they think that is the will of God for their life. And you know what an impact this has. All God's children down here blundering in the dark, not knowing how to walk with God. It's the Word of God that puts your mind right. Prayer puts your heart right. One of the young men who left this church here with a group here, I brought him some spiritual truths about these things. Well, I'll go pray about it. Instead of searching to find out the truth, get his mind understood by the principles of God's Word, he himself was in a position where he thought himself as a teacher. See, knowing the things, yet a babe still in understanding how to walk with God. He's going to go and pray about it. And so he's going to pray until he's finally willing in his heart and has any animosities gone and feels so good and finally is clear before the Lord and feels marvelous. And then he'll do whatever he thinks to do, and that he will count as he prayed about it and felt good about it. See, talked to one of the young ladies in the same way. Well, she prayed about it, and she finally felt wonderful in the soul, then she just felt to do it. No, she didn't fail to do it. She felt marvelous, and she thought to do it. She didn't get her mind straight by the Word of God. See, she got her mind mixed up by people, got her heart in the right position, so she has all good motives. They got wonderful hearts. Their hearts are right. See, they mean to. They don't have any desire to do wrong. They come out and say, well, their hearts are right. How come God doesn't show them? Because they're ignorant, not following the principles of God. God doesn't... There's more confusion, probably, in this one statement I just got to make. I hear it over and over and over and over again. Well, how come God lets them do that? How come God lets them? Don't you know you're a free moral agent? Well, how come? Because they pray. Yeah, but he didn't say prayer was the way. So what you're really asking, why doesn't God violate his own principles? And why doesn't God do through prayer what he's supposed to be doing through his word? And people who read the word, if they refuse to read the word with understanding and see what God says and follow it, and refuse to... See, but they don't always know. No, but they got teachers, but they rebel against them. They got pastors, but they rebel against them. Bless God, they're not going to have any man telling them what to do because that man could be wrong. So they decided to go by their own knowledge and rejecting the will and the word of God through his ministers, they reject the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. And so they go out with a rebellion against God's own word through his ministers, and they go out violating God's principles, and then people wonder why God lets them go that way and why he doesn't violate his principles and reveal by the prayer what comes by the word. And that's why people are where they are. They always wonder why God does these things. It's because man is confused and won't follow the principles of God. And God's not going to violate his whole economy because of rebellious, mixed up people. Even if their heart is right as far as wanting truth. But they are rebelling against, maybe with not full conscience. Not with understanding at least. But they are rebelling against the way God has set it up. They fight it in their mind. They refuse it. They will not have it that way. And they seek it another way and can't find it. And people wonder why. It's a serious thing. It's more serious than a lot of people think about. Then there are people in their ignorance. They get up and say, I remember at a particular meeting we held, and we had somewhat of a problem. One person had to say, well, how come you're always talking about authority and the pastor's authority, and they get tired of hearing that, see? And I said, when does a father speak a lot about authority to his children? When does he constantly remind them that he is a father and they are to mind and he knows and they don't and so forth? Well, I guess when they're rebellious. And I said, yeah, that's right, when they're rebellious. And when they're rebellious, whose fault is it that they're rebellious? The father's or the child's? No, it's the child's. Well, then what is the father to do about it? Shouldn't he then, at that point, let him know who is the boss, who's got the authority, and so forth, well, see? And finally, he began to see a little bit, perhaps, why things are being done at a particular time. You've got to do things when a problem is there to correct the problem. You've got to teach people. You've got to bring people things that they need at the time when they need it. And according to the Word of God, there's a time to love and a time to correct. And God says that if he doesn't correct us, then we are illegitimate children. Because he tells us as parents to discipline and whip our children when they need correction. And he will do the same because he loves us more and he's even a better father. So he will correct us. But he doesn't come down and smite you with cancer because you haven't walked right. He doesn't come down and smite you with a disease. God does not give people diseases. He's a good God. He does not correct that way. So many Christians think that God is disciplining them by when they slam the car door in their hand, when they fall off of a cliff, when they get drunk and smash into a tree, when they drive, and when they get in an accident, and when diseases come on. That is not how our Heavenly Father disciplines you. That is either your clumsiness, somebody else's clumsiness, somebody's rebellion, misunderstanding, confusion, or the devil. It's not God. That is not how God corrects, and that is not how God disciplines. But God does correct and rebuke through his ministers. And so, as the Holy Ghost told Timothy, through Paul, Timothy and Titus told them, to rebuke with all long suffering, but rebuke them sharply. So God was wanting to rebuke the people through Paul, through Titus, to the people. Or from God, through the minister, to the pastor, to the people. It's God rebuking. It's God doing it. But people won't take it from God. It's God that lays it upon their heart, you see. Even as God puts in the heart to love them. He puts in the heart to rebuke. And he puts in the heart to teach. But if they won't take it from the Lord, then they're in trouble. Now, emotions felt are the result of revelation. Emotions felt are the result of a revelation that you get. It may be a revelation of God. It may be just a revelation of a truth, and perhaps not by God, but as you look at the things, all of a sudden that thing becomes clear in your mind. Or it may be even a time, you may even think you understand something, or things put together in such a way that you are convinced of something, and you will have an emotion thereby. In other words, any time that you come to a place where you make judgment on something, you reason and are brought to judgment, or you have a revelation outside of your reasoning power, and a judgment is made on something that has some impact, there will be an emotion felt if there has some impact on your life. So emotions are the result of revelation. But many people try to use emotion as a basis of revelation. Babes all the time try to make emotions the basis of revelation. It is not the basis of revelation. It's the result of revelation. I preached that 1,000 times in this church in a different way by saying that it is the automatic it is the automatic accompaniment of fact. So, if you feel something and feel great emotion for something, that does not mean that that is a revelation that God has, that God is moving on you to for something. If He moves on you by an understanding, you get emotion. Let me give you an example. One night, a few Fridays ago, God moved upon me to pray for the sick. Not because I felt emotion all over me. When I feel great glory, I don't think that's the time to pray for the sick. Because maybe that's the time to do something else. How do I know what great glory means? Maybe I feel five different things through me. Maybe one of five things. I have to know. He has to put it in me so I just know. I just know, that's all. And so I was doing that. And went to pray for a young man up here whose legs were a different length than the other. One leg was a different length than the other. And all of a sudden I felt the emotion of God through me. I mean, I felt emotion. I felt the spirit of the Lord. I felt it an emotion in my heart. I threw my hands up and just praised Him until I had choked back tears almost, until they were welling up within my eyes and within my heart. Now, I didn't say I know to pray for this young man and God's going to heal him because I feel emotion. I felt emotion because I had the revelation He was going to heal him. Because I knew God was going to heal him, and I was saying ahead of time God was going to heal him, and then I felt, I said it because I knew it. I don't just say it, and then, now, God, you're going to have to back me up because I said it. It's wrong to come out and say, now, this is what's going to happen. In 3 days, you're going to be better. Now, God, you better back me up in that. Yeah, well, He doesn't have to back you up in anything you say. You better know that in 3 days, you're going to get better, to say in 3 days, you're going to get better. You better know, and not just say something and hope that God's going to back you up now. You know it, therefore, you say it, therefore, you feel the emotion of it. You don't feel an emotion, and therefore you say it. You have to know what to say. Emotion doesn't give you direction. It just gives you feeling. Don't use emotions as the basis of revelation. It's the result. Knowing God's Word does not come by picking at God's Word. God's Word is a harmonious development. It's one beautiful, fantastic harmony of truths all interwoven and locked together. It is not a pick and choose. Pick a plate here and flip over and read a little bit there and just a pick and choose. You don't come to a real deep understanding of God's Word by a pick and choose method. But you come to these marvelous truths and revelations of God by fitting it together, line upon line, precept upon precept. If you want to build a house, you have all the stones out there in the field to build your house with. And they're all pre-cut. And they all are labeled with keys. And they all interlock and fit together at the right place. It's a prefab with stones, all cut, polished, and stacked, and the lintels of the door, and the sills of the windows, and the roof trusses, beams, supports, the columns, and everything else is all there. Now, if you just pick and choose at random to build this house, you're going to have a monstrosity. But if you begin to fit it together according to the pattern, doing the research to find which block belongs to which block and how it fits and begin to build something systematic and harmonious, you're going to come up with a grand truth. And you may think you may find out after a while you need a block right here. And you can't find anything on the field that'll fit it. Then you find out you've stuck something in the wrong place downhill. It seemed to fit at the time, but as you pull it out, and set it up here, it fits perfect here, and you found another one over there, now it fits better there. You couldn't tell when there's so many pieces out here you hadn't got put together yet. But as the more you put it together, the more you begin to find, like putting a puzzle together, well, this one doesn't go there after all. I had to kind of, I crowded that one in. You know, you got the piece, you ever did that piece of putting a puzzle together, and you had to kind of go like this, you know? It came so close to fitting, but you had to kind of squeeze it a bit and do this to get it in. And you were satisfied with it until you found this little piece over here. You wondered what to do with it. And then you took your fingernail and you pulled that out. And this clicked right in place so easily. And then over here, it fits. You couldn't tell that at first. There's too many pieces out here that are undeveloped, unfitted. Don't panic because you can't get the whole puzzle put together all at once. But don't force too hard. Don't keep a little puzzle crowbar off to one side to fight in. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't belong there. But you learn to fit it together. It isn't a pick and choose. And that's why there's so much ignorance in God's word among the people. These are the things. This is my introduction. I used my time up on the introduction. These are the things that came to me as fast as I could write them. It only took me 5 minutes to write all of that. Still the Lord was, as I just said, Lord, see? I didn't say now, Don Barnett, you wonderful old teacher, you know so much. Go back to your notes. Well, what do you know? See, I said, Lord, how should I do this? How can I do it? See, how can I do it so I won't repeat everything and yet wrap it up in something? And because I asked the Lord, it just began to flow. But if you try to do everything in your own self, then God says, okay, you're going to do it. Well, then we have to let you do it. You have to solicit God in every part of your life. You can't always tell when you leave off and God starts in. You won't always be able to tell at first when you're doing it. You don't even always know. You're not even sure why you're saying what you're saying. I do that all the time. I've learned not to think about what I do, what comes to me. If I think about it and rationalize it, I miss it every time. Well, perhaps not every time, because I know the principles, but I mean, if I go to think about it, it becomes man's reasoning. But when I feel to do something, I do it, and I have found out hundreds of times that right, I don't even know why I say it. I sometimes digress, or I say something, and I get the slightest idea what I'm saying it. I don't even stop to think about it. And I'm not just rambling, but something I feel, I say it, and then right afterwards, I find out exactly why. Later on, it fits so perfect. Things there are people, they have situations over and over. I have found this out. And so I learned not to try to mull things over and figure it out in my own mind. But you have to be in a place to make that discernment to realize when God is backing it up. Now, if I were to do these things on my own, if I were to just do these things and I felt like them, and I wasn't seeing the positive results, then I would know something was wrong. And I wouldn't continue to do it. You've got to see the results and know it's the hand of God. It's not an easy thing to learn to do, but we've got to learn to do it. Now, the principles of body ministry, talking about learning to walk with God and have the will of God, and a great part of that is wrapped up in our body ministry, ministering one to another. The whole principle is wrapped up in one word. What is it? Our body ministry, the whole one key word for all of it. Pardon? I'm thinking of a word, edification. Edification. I could say unity, that's another one. Edification. I could say love, that's another one. But I'm thinking now particularly of edification, to build up the body. It must not hurt, it must help. It must heal instead of hurt. It must lift up instead of knock down. It must add knowledge, not fill. See? Now, let's talk about testimonies for about 30 seconds. Dana Alberts gave a testimony Friday night. And it was a long testimony. But it was so anointed that nobody cared how long it was. It could go on forever. Because it was really, truly anointed. And when something is anointed, then the length of it is not important. But when it's not anointed, that long of a testimony is five times too long. People are shifting from hip to hip. See? They it's too long. They're in their mind are saying, come on, get on off of them. Get on there. Get with somebody who's anointed. We have to be sensitive when we're anointed or when we just feel good and feel like talking. There's a difference.
When you're excited about something is one thing. When you're anointed is another thing. One more point before I quit, and that is, but when you are anointed, stop when you run out of something to say. What I mean by this is that there are some people that are they're anointed to testify, and they're testifying, and it's good testimony, and it's coming right out though. It's coming right out, and it's flowing free and anointed, and they feel marvelous, you know, and there's nothing that feels more marvelous than speaking of the anointing, hardly, you know. You feel so marvelous, you're like never quitting. But all of a sudden, you are through with what you have to bring. But you feel the glow of the anointing still there. You feel so wonderful, you don't feel like sitting down. And sometimes you can see them begin to think, hunting for something to say. They don't have anything to say. They have finished what they had to say and what they were anointed for. But they still feel the glow of the anointing, and so they don't feel like sitting down. So the mind is going hunting for something else to say. Know that when your mind does that, you're through. Sit down. Because you're going to taper off fast after that. And it isn't very long, you're stumbling and fumbling, and you finally realize, and you finally quit. Learn that when you're through, you're through. And we'll stop right here now. Continue.